America, Cut Off from God, by Roderick C. Meredith, read by Justin D. Ridgway. Staggering changes are just ahead, which will soon affect your life and the lives of all your loved ones. Our society has turned away from the true God, the God of the Bible. Before he became President of the United States, then-Senator Barack Obama gave a policy address in which he stated, quote, "Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers," end quotes, on June 26, 2006. How true! Many, even most Americans, no longer turn to the God of the Bible in times of crisis and tragedy. Instead, they wonder, where was God when 20 children died in the Newtown massacre? Where was God during the Columbine shooting more than a decade ago? Where is God when one mass murder after another takes place? America seems to be a very different nation than it once was. Once the arsenal of democracy and the world's biggest creditor nation, it is now a debtor nation, questioning the long-held values that form the entire American way of life. Does God have anything to do with the plunge in America's international power and prestige? What about the remarkable changes in weather patterns, including increasingly serious crop losses and the specter of food rationing? What about the growing drought in America's Midwest and Southwest that has become so severe that the government is being forced to dynamite portions of the Mississippi River because the water level has become so low that massive barges containing millions of tons of grains and other foodstuffs are often unable to navigate this vital waterway? What about the increasing strain on medical facilities, especially with the threat of prophesied disease epidemics on the horizon? What about the record number of massive earthquakes coming closer and closer to America's shores? Can you connect the dots? The secular news analysts view all of these growing threats as random, disconnected events with no overall connection. But those of you who truly believe the Bible should realize the meaning of all of these events. You should connect the dots. You should realize that as Bible-rejecting judges and legislators legalize even the abominable practice of men marrying men, something awful is beginning to overtake the American nation. For a former Bible-believing nation should know better. How many realize that the American and British descended peoples have a special responsibility? We are the ones, far more than any other nation, that have translated, published, and distributed hundreds of millions of Bibles around the world. We are the people whom the Creator has formerly blessed by granting us the richest parts of the earth, by blessing us with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Taken from Genesis chapter 49, verses 25 and 26. We are rejecting the Bible. Increasingly, as we turn away from God of the Bible, the eternal God will shake our nations until our teeth rattle. For we in the America, along with the British descended nations, really are the descendants of the so-called, quote-unquote, lost 10 tribes of Israel. And the God who gives us life and breath has predicted these exact events to come on us unless we repent. In an awesome prophecy referring to our time, the Almighty God first promised to bless our peoples in every way if we would choose to observe carefully all of His commandments. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. He then promised to set us high above all nations of the earth. He promised, "You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Eternal will make you the head and not the tail. Verses 12 and 13. These awesome blessings have come upon the American and British descended peoples because of our father Abraham's obedience to God's commandments, statutes, and laws. You find this in Genesis chapter 26, verses 3 through 5. Think carefully. How were the peoples of England, a comparatively small nation living on an island, even remotely able to gain control over vast nations and continents all over the world? For at one time, they controlled the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and major colonies such as India, Burma, and parts of Africa and the Middle East. Did this all just happen? Or was it because Almighty God intervened to keep His promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and bless their descendants with such great power even at the time of the end? For God allowed us together to win World War I, World War II, the First Gulf War, and many other conflicts. As we have turned away from God and His laws, our victories became more and more difficult. Our national prestige in world affairs became less and less. And we are now no longer the head as we once were, but have become the tail. Now, instead of being the world's biggest lender nation, the United States has become the world's biggest borrower. We have forgotten God's warning. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. We read that in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. More than most of you can even begin to imagine, America will soon become the servant of other nations, and it is going to be awful. As we increasingly despise God's statutes, He will appoint terror and wasting disease over us, and will slowly but surely break the pride of your power. As He states in Leviticus 26 and verse 16, and verses 19 and 20. This is now beginning to happen before our very eyes. For the eternal God clearly states in one of His statutes, which a majority of modern Americans certainly do despise, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. Also in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was inspired to validate and even magnify this statute of God when he described the so-called great philosophers. Paul stated, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting." We read that in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Again, think. Has our so-called progressive society progressed so much that, as Paul stated, it does not retain God in their knowledge? Exactly. So what lies ahead for you and for all of your loved ones if we do not truly repent and begin to seek after the true God, the God of the Bible? After describing the awesome blessings upon our people listed in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, the great God describes exactly what will happen if we continue to turn our backs on our Creator. God states, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and all His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offsprings of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 19. Wow! Could this be an inspired description of the increasing slaughter of young people in places like Newtown, Connecticut? Could this be a description of the massive drought occurring in the American Midwest and Southwest? Could this be a description of coming disease epidemics? Epidemics so severe that they will simply overwhelm our medical system. Could this all lead to the total military and financial collapse of America as Almighty God sends His rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me? Verse 20. God help us to wake up, for there is still time for millions of our people to come to their senses and to be willing to connect the dots and to seek and obey the God of the Bible. Will you be one who is willing to do this? You must be willing to listen. As the news commentators and so-called analysts describe so many of the events around us, they utterly fail to connect the dots. Regarding school shootings, they talk about having more policemen around the schools. They talk about arming the teachers. They talk about having better classes in civics or human relations. But they do not allow themselves to address the actual cause of the problem. In our modern society, we nearly always talk about the symptoms of the horrible things that happen, but we are seemingly blinded from understanding the root cause. Why? Most people do not like to hear the cause. The truth goes against their modern progressive ideology, for it involves a willingness to obey the God of the Bible. In a way, very few religious leaders are themselves willing to admit or do. Why are so many blinded? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. We read that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. There is plainly a growing antagonism in the minds and the hearts of hundreds of millions of modern individuals, understandably disappointed or disillusioned by various false religions and ideologies, that has turned them against even considering the possibility that a real God exists and has the authority to tell us what to do. Put simply, most people are not willing to humbly listen to their Creator or His inspired Word, the Holy Bible. Yet the very prophecies that I just cited in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 and literally scores of other prophecies in your Bible, both in the Old and New Testaments, clearly indicate that people will suffer because they are not willing to obey their Creator. It almost sounds too simple to be true. But my friends, it is absolutely true, and this truth will soon affect your life as our modern society turns further and further away from God. When young people, and indeed people of all ages, are not taught to properly reverence the Creator God and obey the Ten Commandments as a way of life, their moral and social values will naturally tend to deteriorate more and more with each passing decade. The family increasingly breaks apart and breaks down. Violence and crime become more common. Even people's willingness to work together for the common good begins to fall apart. Just exactly as we today see in the parliaments of Europe and in the United States Congress, as political leaders seem totally unable to cooperate with one another to come up with sensible solutions to lead our peoples to peace and prosperity. Again, why? Because the vast majority of people today are cut off from God. They have banished God from their schools, from the public square, and whether you are willing to admit it or not, have even banished the true God and His inspired Word from the very churches themselves that profess to be Christian. What does it mean to be Christian? Christ Himself taught that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He stated that in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. Yet many do not like to admit that when he taught this, the New Testament was not yet in existence. Jesus was stating plainly that the Old Testament was also the Word of God to be obeyed. Jesus Christ came to magnify the law and to make it honorable. We read that in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 21 from the King James Version of the Bible. However, most professing ministers of Jesus Christ have twisted his words in a remarkable way so that they are not willing to admit that when Jesus magnified the law, he did not do away with it. When one magnifies a thing, one sees it as bigger and more clear, like putting a magnifying glass on a snowflake to show it in all of its variety and beauty. Yet ministers often today teach that Jesus, or later the Apostle Paul, or someone, anyone, did away with God's law. They seem frantic in their desire to somehow come up with a God who demands no obedience to his law. Yet, the Jesus Christ of the Bible told his followers again and again, in many different ways, that if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And then he began to name some of the Ten Commandments in Matthew chapter 19, verses 17 through 19. When Jesus magnified the commandments in the Sermon on the Mount, he stated, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of the commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 5 in verse 19. To what commandments was Christ referring? In magnifying the Ten Commandments, Jesus stated, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Jesus was clearly talking about one of the Ten Commandments, the one against committing adultery. So did he do away with that commandment? Obviously not, for he made it even more binding by saying that if a man even looks at a woman to lust for her, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. How clear! Today's learned theologians constantly imply that the Apostle Paul somehow did away with God's law. But Paul did no such thing. Rather, he wrote, "Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters." We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. Keeping the Ten Commandments brings blessings. Yes, keeping the commandments of God is what really matters to individuals and to society as a whole. If we would genuinely repent and be willing to let the God of the Bible into our churches, into our schools, and into our entire society, we would begin to teach children from the very youth an entire way of life based on the Ten Commandments, which describes how to love God and how to love our neighbor. If we would do this, so many other actions, providing more policemen at school, putting hundreds of thousands of men and women in prisons at the expense of billions of tax dollars, and all other stupid stuff we have to do because we break our Creator's laws, would be totally unnecessary. For your own Bible clearly explains, from the beginning to end, that those people and those societies willing to obey the Ten Commandments of God are blessed. After explaining the commandments about adultery and murder in James 2 and verse 11, the Apostle James goes on to instruct Christians, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." Verse 12. Yes, the Ten Commandments, if observed, will indeed give us liberty from crime, violence, rape, mistreatment of women and children, war, graft, and greed, and from enormous sums spent on imprisoning criminals. God has revealed through inspired scripture that when the entire world starts keeping the Ten Commandments upon Christ's return, peace and blessings will permeate the earth. The prophet Micah describes this soon coming era. He states, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But every one shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Eternal of hosts has spoken." Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Notice that peace will be the result of the law going out from Zion, that everyone affected by this prophecy shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. For prosperity and individual freedom and peace of mind will certainly be the prevailing way of life, all based on God's spiritual law, which tells us how to love God and how to love our neighbor. In describing this coming time of Christ's rule, a time governed by obedience to the Ten Commandments, God describes the blessings people will receive as they are released from captivity. "Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in the land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." We read that in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7. Yes, God wants all human beings to experience everlasting joy. But we must be willing to learn the way to that joy. That way is not according to human reason and human vanity, but rather is based on a willingness to obey the way of life outlined clearly by our Creator in His inspired Word. Again, most people today do not like this, for they have been blinded by the invisible power of Satan the devil, who, as your Bible clearly states, again and again, deceives the whole world. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. However, hundreds of thousands of you reading this article may be willing to become undeceived. May God help us to sincerely listen and to sincerely seek the God of the Bible and be willing to do what He says. This, my friends, is the ultimate reality. Be willing to act on the truth. If you would like to understand more of the details of God's inspired law, the law of love, and how it ought to be kept, be sure to request an absolutely free copy of our powerful and revealing booklet, The Ten Commandments. Just write to the regional office nearest you, listed on page 30 of this magazine, or order it online at tomorrowsworld.org. Also, if you are willing to open your eyes to recognize why mankind is so confused and has gone so far off track from the right way of life, also request a free copy of our very eye-opening booklet, Satan's Counterfeit Christianity. Finally, if you have not already done so, please request your own free copy of a booklet that will spell out for you in informative detail how our Western society has gone off track, how we arrived where we are today, and what true Christianity is all about. This absolutely vital booklet is entitled Restoring Original Christianity. It will open your eyes to what the real Christianity of Christ and His apostles looks like. It will help you understand the way of life that the entire world will soon be living when Jesus Christ returns to the earth as King of Kings. We read that in Revelation 11, chapter 15. By reading and studying these booklets, you will come to a deeper understanding of the real cause of our modern ills and the reasons for troubles increasingly developing around us in our governments, educational institutions, religious institutions, and our entire society. You will become more deeply aware of the exciting meaning of the prophecies of your Bible, of exactly where we are headed, and of what you should be doing to protect yourself and your loved ones in this near future. God inspired the Apostle James to tell us, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." James chapter 1 and verse 22. May God help you be a doer of His inspired word, and so have your mind open to the real meaning of life, the meaning of all of these prophetic events beginning to occur around us, and the way by which you may fulfill God's purpose and have your part in Jesus Christ's soon coming world government. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11.